B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
All right, welcome in. Over Under Podcast. He's Dan Lifshitz. I'm Joe Murray. Let's line them up, people. I'm going to retweet it to get all the people on board. NFL Divisional Weekend. And we got some hoops. Hockey starts tonight as well. And whatever else is going on in you guys. So, yes, Air Fryer Joe is here to go. I'm going to air fry some chicken nuggets tonight. For those that that care. So we'll just ratchet it up, getting you guys all on board. And then we will kick it off with Divisional Weekend. In the NFL, and Dan, I think some of the trends worked last week. Underdogs were hot on Saturday.
Yep.
And then Sunday, obviously, a little bit of a mixed bag there. But I mentioned the trend earlier. Divisional round, these one seeds, better watch out. 9-17-2, it gets 34% since 2007, the number one seeds. So, Saturday morning, or Sunday, was it Saturday afternoon, excuse me, is the Packers and the Rams. And the Rams will start Jared Goff, it sounds like.
Yep, Wofford was declared out, so Goff is the starter.
Only thing I'll say here is the Rams have actually been better against the spread in the last 10 games than Green Bay. But Green Bay has had a week off. I think they saw what the Rams can do. I will tell you a couple of trends. The last five playoff games, the Rams and Packers have both gone over in the divisional round. So I know those were different teams, but the favorite 9-1 in the last 10 meetings, which would be Green Bay, and the Rams, the last six times they played Green Bay, all losses.
So for me, it's so surprisingly, we talked about the Buffalo Tampa teaser last week. It hit pretty. I mean, to me, from what I heard, that cleaned out the books. Is that the teasers actually absolutely murdered the books this week? It feels like there's going to be Tampa and the Packers. At least to me, that's going to be the classic tease. Maybe it'd be Kansas City and Green Bay. I'm not really sure. Get that down to 3.5. Green Bay on the money line of the tease to me is a big spot. That's a big teaser spot. I'm personally not going to be on it because I'm a little terrified of that. Listen, I think the Rams match up pretty well against the Packers across the board. They get pressure up the middle. Aaron Donald is going to play despite getting hurt last week. He's definitely going to play, per McVay. The team, you know, defensively matches up with what Green Bay does. And Green Bay has been tested at times defensively. The Rams are not exactly going to be a massive test for them because, I mean, we still don't really know what Goff is, right? We don't know how Goff's going to play. How's that finger, everything kind of going on in that one. The total to me is real low. The fact that it opened, I think, I'll check my opener here, but I believe it opened at 46. Yeah, 46 down to 45.5. That's a very low total, Joe Murray. I'm surprised that it's that low. The Green Bay Packers team total right now sitting at 27.5 plus 115 on the board. So, I mean, you're definitely seeing the sharper money come in on the under. Obviously moved out 46 to 45.5, probably a sharp move. Unlikely to be a public move when a lot of people are on the over. This one, this is the game I feel the least comfortable about playing, just in general. I mean, again, I think I said it on the Touch and Rich show this morning. I like three of the four unders. I really like four of the four unders. I like this one too. I'm just not sure I'm going to play it, but yeah, I my favorite play in this one is the under. I think playing a side in this is dangerous, but you know, they say that the 6.5, take the 6.5, lay the 7.5, you know, probably go Rams. So it's down the 6.5 from that 7. I'm not sure it gets back to 7 by kickoff. We'll see.
All right. I kind of lean the over in Green Bay because it's square, and that's just what everything has been in general. I'm just starting to get that square feeling. Plus, Green Bay is going to have the MVP, you know, and the good running game. And the Rams, we don't know, right? Cooper Kupp got hurt. Donald's going to play, but he's hurt. And then, obviously, they'll have Goff, who I think should be better. So we'll see what happens with that one. The Saturday night game, Buffalo just sitting at 2.5, hasn't moved. 49.5 is the total. Baltimore went 7-2 on the road this year. One of those losses was to the Patriots. Excuse me. And then the Buffalo 8-1 at home. So they were one of the best two road teams and home teams. And in the last 10, they are both a perfect 8-2 against the spread.
So I'm going to have to get the bell in a minute here because I do have a play. I'm going to take the under 50. In this one, I'm going to PP it when I go get the PP bill in a minute here, because I forgot it before the podcast.
Can I give you something for that? The last six road games, the Ravens are 5-1. Six road games under.
There you go. Here, well, when we go grab it, you can discuss that for a second.
Yeah, and then some of the head-to-head trends between these two teams. Under is 6-2. The last 8 meetings between the two teams. So since Dan is leaning on the under there, Baltimore has gone under. The Bills, though, on the other hand, have gone over the total. So if you look at it, a lot of things lean towards Baltimore in the under. But head-to-head matchups, these two teams, last 8, and I think they've met a couple of times with Josh Allen, the home team is 6-2 against the spread. So
let's talk about that total last week, because I've heard everyone saying it went over and I disagree with that statement.
No, I mean, it was 50.5 at kickoff. I only know that because I put a bet in for somebody and they lost it at 50.5.
So some books were 50.5. Some books were 51. It opened at 52. And I believe from what I see, it closed at 51. So, I mean, I have it as a push, but I mean, a lot of people got 51.5. 52. I know for a fact that I did. I mean, I was on almost every under, and I got under 51.5. So, I mean, yeah. So, you know, it depends where you got the number. The CLV mattered last week, just like I think it's going to matter this week. For instance, I wouldn't feel comfortable taking anything under 49 in the Bills-Ravens game. That, to me, is the key number there. I don't want to take anything under that. So, by the way, PP under 50 in that Bills-Ravens game, that is going to be my play in this one. I think the Ravens are a spectacular teaser side this week. I do. I don't see Buffalo demolishing this team. We talked about it last week. I thought that whoever Buffalo played, whether it was Cleveland or Baltimore, I thought they were going to struggle against. My feelings on that continue. I think that reflects in the spread this week as they opened as a 3-point dog some places, but it's 2.5 now. I think the line is going to consistently sit at 2.5. But to me, Ravens perfect teaser spots, Wong teaser spot. I know we all love the talk about the Wong tee. Shout out Andy Wong and the Kowloon. But yeah, it's a perfect Wong tee spot. Ravens up to 8.5 from 2.5. Gets you through that key number 3. Gets you through that key number 7. And honestly, these days, kind of not really, but even somewhat of a key number of 8 sometimes. So, I mean, to me, that is a good number to get for a tease. And I mean, to me, that would be the way I would go in this game. I'm liking the under, and I like the Baltimore and the Baltimore Ravens in a teaser spot. And I do believe that Buffalo is going to win, but I still think that this is going to be a hell of a game. I think this is going to be a really, really good game. It's going to come down to something like last week, final drive. Buffalo moves on to the AFC Championship. And I didn't pick the Rams-Packers. I'm going to go with an upset. I'm going to take the Rams.
Wow.
I'm going to take the Rams there outright. Yeah.
So I think if Lamar Jackson wants to win the game, he can. I'm curious who they're going to use. Maybe use Milano, former safety. Maybe to shadow Lamar Jackson. But Buffalo's going to throw all day. They have issues with their running game. We'll find out what happens if Singletary can carry the load. I don't know. I mean, Devontae Smith's a pud, if you ask me.
Devontae Freeman, yeah. I don't know about this running. Yeah, not Devonta Smith. Devonta Smith is anything but a putt. He's a superstar. Devonta Freeman, though, on the other hand, he struggled even getting on the field for the Giants this year. You know, to question how much he has left in the tank and the question how effective he'll be for Baltimore, I think you have every right to do that.
Yep. And just looking at it, though, I don't love the Baltimore defense. They played last year. Baltimore won 24-17. They did not play this year. So I could see something similar.
I think if Baltimore wants to win the game, the way to beat the Bills is through ball control running on the ground. I think that, you know, that hasn't changed. So Baltimore's a team, run it on the ground, power run. I think they got away from that early in that game against Tennessee, and you saw the success really start once they were handing the ball off to Dobbins and, you know, Jackson was kind of doing his moves and they were using the play action. And I think that is the most effective way to beat this Buffalo defense. And I think that Baltimore has a shot, but I'm going to take Buffalo just because it feels like we're destined for a Bills Chiefs AFC Championship game, which is disgusting if you're a Patriots fan.
Oof. All right, Sunday, the early game is Browns at the Chiefs. So I early slight lean is on Cleveland at +10. The reason why is that the Chiefs have not covered spreads, dude. They just don't cover spreads. I looked at some of the trends. Underdog is 5-2 against the spread the last seven meetings. The Brown, 5-2. Against his brother. The road team is 5-1 the last 6 weeks. So, like, a lot of trends lean towards the Browns. A lot of trends lean towards the over when it comes to Cleveland and Kansas City, for that matter. So, I Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we don't know what's going to happen with him. He wants to play. I mean, clearly, I think the Chiefs win this game. I do. Do they cover is the question. And I don't – I'm going to say no at this point because they've yet to do it, and they play down to their opponent. And we're going to see Kareem Hunt versus old team, Nick Chubb. Like, I think they're going to compete. I think they keep it within 10.
So I lean Kansas City with the 10 points here. I know that they haven't covered much recently, but I do think that that's a big number, especially if you can get it at 9.5. I would probably feel a little bit more comfortable with that number, to be honest with you. This Cleveland Browns team reminds me very much of the Tennessee Titans of last year, where very good on the ground. The quarterback operates off play action. The defense is really good. But when it comes to scoring enough points to keeping up with Kansas City, they just can't do it. And I think that that's something that we're going to see here too. I think there's a good chance we see a very similar script as last year where Cleveland takes an early lead and Kansas City, you know, comes storming back and they go up big. I like the under here. I'm not going to PP it. It's not one of my favorites, but I mean, I do think, you know, I'm just probably going to take all four unders this weekend. I do think that Kansas City is going to cover that big number. I think it's big for a reason because I think that they're going to want some even. I think books are looking for even money on the Browns, and right now they're getting it. If you take a look at the actual bet percentages and money percentages, Cleveland getting 55% of the bet, 60% of the money. It's early in the week. It's only Thursday, so it's not, you know, not gospel to preach by, but I do think that that's the reason for the big number. I think Kansas City probably wins by – you know, 13, something like that, and covers it. I just think that they're begging you to take Cleveland with that big number. I'm not going to be fooled. I don't love anything in this game, but I lean Kansas City, and that would probably be my favorite play. I have Kansas City winning the game too.
Usually I see a minus 10 and they go, yep, minus 10, book it, Kansas City. You know how you did that for Kentucky week after week after week? I did that with Kansas City, and I just, it's how I feel this week.
Got to ride that trend, Joe. Got to ride that trend, and then you get a couple Kentucky wins in a row.
Yep, and they lost the other night to Alabama.
No, they didn't lose. They got murdered by Alabama.
They did. So right now, I'm going to give it a couple more days, but I'm plus 10 Kansas City. I mean, plus 10 Cleveland. The other thing is I'd be wary about teasing either of these teams. I'd probably stay off either way, 17 or down to 4. I would stay clear from the way the Kansas City plays. And then finally, we got the Bucks in New Orleans. Again, I think Tom Brady's too good for that team. That defense blows. Their running game was good. They only rushed 19 times with what's his face there?
Fournette.
So it's hard to beat a team three times in a row. I don't think New Orleans has been great. I do think Tampa Bay is going to score. I think that they're going to give up stupid plays to New Orleans. I'm saying this out of a rooting factor. I like Tampa Bay to upset New Orleans based off of New Orleans' history in playoff games and choking. But let's face it, the favorite has owned this series this year. Home team has favored this series this year. Oh, well, the Saints have owned the shit. But the over is 4-1 last five. The Bucks, the last five meetings, whoever the quarterback has been for the Bucks, 0-5. And they just have struggled, but the over has been 5-2 the last seven meetings. So maybe the over is the play.
Oh, if that's the play, I'm going to get screwed because I'm playing the under. Give me the PP, the under. Bucks, Saints, under 52.
Again, now, the Saints have been keeping everyone under, too. So I'll give you that.
I do. I think, again, this is two teams that know each other. It's a divisional game, so things can get wacky. We know that. That's nothing crazy. So anything in this game goes. That being said, give me the under. I sincerely think that Tampa Bay did not deserve to win that game last week. They look like shit to me. Tom Brady was the reason they won that game. I think that Brady made up for a lot of their deficiencies defensively. They let Taylor Heineke throw all over them. They moved the ball on the ground, which was a surprise considering how good that front seven is for Tampa. I expect them to hold, Kamara early, but unfortunately, I think the Saints ultimately win this game and win it going away. It opened at 4. Not 3. It's down to 3 now, but it opened at 4, and I think that 4 number should really tell you all you need to know where this game is going. I think by Sunday we'll see this game at 3.5, probably 3.5. I think the total will probably continue to rise, but I just there's no way I'm back in Tampa again. Unfortunately, they just didn't look good enough. Now, Tom Brady pulls wins out of his ass like no other quarterback in NFL history. So it would not shock me if Tampa won. It's just the way that they've looked against this New Orleans team. Now they have to travel back to New Orleans. They didn't look good last week. I thought they deserved to lose to that football team outright. And it's just they perform so poorly against what is to me a fourth string quarterback and a banged up just offense. I mean, McLaurin was banged up. Gibson was banged up. But Cam Sims was banged up. Like, and they still powered through with a guy who's taken what, a few snaps in practice. Like, it's just bad. So if that's the case, what is Drew Brees going to do? Michael Thomas looked healthy last week. I'm riding the Saints train. I think they're going to beat Tampa. I think it's going to be going away too.
My personal opinion, I don't think the Saints have been challenged offensively of late. My own personal opinion, that's kind of why I feel like maybe the Bucks might get ahead early and then we'll see panic time, hopefully, for New Orleans. But I do think that New Orleans has owned that ass. It's just they stink in these situations. They stink.
I mean, not really. They've made it to the NFC Championship game a few times in a row. They just can't win past that point. It's the NFC Championship game that they really struggle with.
Well, last year they lost to the Vikings in the spot.
Well, that's true. That's fair. But yeah. the 2 years prior, didn't they make it to the NFC Championship?
Well, they got hosed.
They got hosed against the Rams. And didn't they lose to, was it the Vikings or whatever? Was it the Stephon Diggs catch like in the final seconds of that game that ended up winning? So I mean, I don't know. I do think that the Saints will be okay in the spot. I mean, there's got to be a breakthrough there, and I think it's going to be this year in this spot at least, because to me, Tampa just doesn't look good. And there are even times last week where Brady and his receivers did not look good. Now, Mike Evans, boy, was I wrong about that. Mike Evans played, and he played very well. The info I got was not great, and he was fantastic. But again, they even with Evans and Brown and Godwin healthy, that team just didn't feel, I don't know, did it feel like to you that they're unbeatable? So.
No, I don't think the Bucs defense was good, but I also think that if that dude catches that ball early for Chicago, they got a different game there, and I'd like to see the New Orleans team get a little bit challenged. So there's our wild card divisional weekend look. We'll have more on this on Saturday on our live show that we do. We can take a quick break, and I want to get into some of these basketball games tonight. I got a couple underway here, and then there's a few that I like tonight that we can get into. We'll take a quick break here on the Over Under podcast.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to The Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at OverUnder985.
And we're back. College basketball. There are some early games today. I'm watching one of them right now. Stanford's getting their doors blown off by Utah, and then UCLA is dismantling Washington State, Colorado. Again, we keep talking about them week in and week out. They're a good basketball team, man. But Cal was down today, one of their best players. Temple beat UCF. But there's one game late night tonight I like, BYU-St. Mary's. That's the late game tonight. We can talk about that one in a minute here. And then I'm looking at this Indiana-Purdue game. I got a play for you.
What is it at me?
We saw in Purdue go on the road and win last week, right?
Yep.
Nope, not today. Give me Indiana. Boom, 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 boom. So I saw it earlier at -3.5. What's it now?
It's 4 now.
All right, fine. Give me 4.
Yeah, I don't think the difference will matter too much there. Hopefully not.
Indiana's just a better team at home. I know Purdue got a surprising win last week. We even said it ourselves. But the home team has done well in this meeting, 4-1-1 last six. Purdue, again, all their struggles have been on the road despite last week. But I like Indiana tonight, the Hoosiers. And I liked them last week, and they covered in overtime.
God, I really want to do this again. I feel like a dumbass, but I'm going to do it again. PP, give me the Big Ten under. Give me Purdue, Indiana under 130. Give it to me. I bet you this game's gonna fly over. But again, I feel the last spot last week, it was under. We had it, goes to overtime, goes over because of it. That's a shitty feeling. But I'm going under. I'm going back to that spot tonight. And I'm taking the under. I mean, that, you know, early on, we've seen these games outside that Stanford, Stanford-Utah game, which I actually played under on. You know, we've seen these games go over. That Colorado game, 89 points for Colorado. Hell of an offensive explosion. UCLA, Wash State looks like that's going to go over too. So hopefully we get a little bit of regression tonight, get some unders there. You know, some other games quickly to talk about, Joe. San Francisco takes on Portland. Not a major game, but it's a big one. The WCC's, the Dons, obviously, we talked about upsetting Virginia earlier in the year. They're a good team. Pepperdine takes on Gonzaga. No one really gives a shit about Pepperdine, but Gonzaga laying 27 at home. Total now on a 167.5.
That seems like a lot.
It's a lot, but Gonzaga covers numbers, dude. Gonzaga covers numbers. We know that. Open at 25.5, about 27. Can't lay the 27 there. There are, in my opinion, 2 to 3 really, really good games tonight. This is the first one. San Diego State on the road at Utah State. Total in this one's 132. Utah State, a 2-point favorite currently, Joe. We're seeing 57% of the bet on San Diego State, 81% of the money there as well. This one's a tough one to pick. I think you have to take the home team again. San Diego State has been so good this year, though. They really have been a, you know, win versus Arizona State on the road. The problem is that is really their only true road game this year, is that one game at Arizona State. They have not played a true road game since that game. Not a single one. Loss at home at BYU, win at home versus St. Mary's, loss at home versus Colorado State, and then 3 straight wins at home, 1 versus Colorado State, 2 versus Nevada. Utah State has played 4 straight road games, 4-0 in those games. I think home Utah State team, I think I got to take it there. It's a back-to-back, so they're playing tonight, and they're playing not tomorrow night, not Friday night, but Saturday, 1 o'clock. That's a 1 o'clock game on CBS. So I think I'm not going to PP it, but I think I'm going to go Utah State here. I did join Greg Peterson on his podcast last night to kind of discuss some trends in the in these back-to-back games, and we talked about early on about how what happened early on is a favorite would cover, open as a smaller spread than the amount of points they won by the previous night, and the dog would either cover or win outright. Then that trend kind of flipped the last few weeks, and what's happened is dog has been winning that first game or covering at a very high rate in that first game. And now we're seeing the favorites, you know, in that second night, cover that spread, or the game goes over with the dog and we're going under the second game. So I'm not going to PP anything in this one, but I am paying close attention to it. Maybe jump in on a second half play there. There's a few other weird spreads tonight. Eastern Washington is a 5.5-point favorite at home versus Southern Utah, who is fucking dominating the Big Sky, 4-0 in that conference, 9-1 overall. We don't have to dive too deep into that. USC is a 13.5-point favorite at home versus Washington tonight, Joe. I know you love to fade that Washington team.
I hate Washington.
But USC is a 13-point favorite. I'm thinking about laying the 13 with them. I just think that USC has some games, man. They don't even fucking show up. They didn't show up for the last game versus Arizona, lost by 27 at home. They haven't showed up really since that Montana game, and they lost that one too. So I'm very strongly considering playing I'm very strongly considering playing USC tonight. By the way, Washington did show up in their last game. They lost on the road at Cal by 6 points, 84-78. But previous to that, 91-75 loss home versus Stanford, 80-53 loss home versus Arizona, 92-69 home loss versus Colorado. None of those covers, none of those even fucking close. This wow. Washington team, pitiful, pitiful.
Sounds like an over.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. The total in that game is 139.5, so it's up from 137. I don't have a strong feel on the over, but you're right. The amount of points there does trend towards over. And the road side, they have been, you know, they only have two true road games, though, this year, Joe. But both of those games would have been over this total. It would have been 138, and that Cal game way over 162 off the top of my head. All right, two other games, Arizona, Oregon State. Not a big one. We don't have to dive too deep into this, Joe. Arizona's on a slide. They've lost their last two losses at home versus USC and UCLA. They're now on the road two straight games. That Oregon game got postponed. At Oregon State tonight and at Arizona State next week, a week from tonight. So they don't play for a while. Oregon State, they haven't played in a while either. Their last two games have been postponed. They're coming off a home loss to Stanford. Now they're going to be facing Arizona, 5-4. They are 1-2 in the Pac-12. I think there's going to be a lot of people on that Oregon State over tonight. I think we're going to go under there. I think we're going to see an underplay there. Not going to BP. And then finally, Joe, the game you wanted to talk about, BYU, 9-3 BYU on the road at St. Mary's, in a real, real fucking low total tonight. Total opened at 131.5. It is up to 133.5. St. Mary's is now a 1-point favorite on the spread despite BYU.
Give me BYU. Ring that bell. Man, you know why? Because the underdog has owned this series 4-0 last four meetings.
I am probably going to fade Joe Murray tonight, unfortunately. I like St. Mary's and the under in that one, but I definitely like the total more. But I lean St. Mary's. BYU, to me, BYU has been a great team this year. Early on, they've actually been challenged, which is surprising because they haven't, you know, most teams haven't taken challenges. The problem is they haven't played in a long time, Joe. Their last game was against Gonzaga, and that was a week ago.
Wow.
I mean, they've been off for a while. Now, St. Mary's, you know, a little bit shorter. They played the ninth, so a few days ago. They lost at home to Santa Clara. Ooh. So right now, it's not a bad spot to take BYU. Not to mention, they have a look ahead on Saturday at home versus Gonzaga, which is why I'm not PPing St. Mary's. So it's not a bad spot for BYU. It's just on the road this year, BYU. They've been really, really good. I just think eventually there's going to be regression to the mean there. And we'll see what happens. But I do lean more of the total. And maybe I might put that out on Twitter later if continues trending in the direction that I'm seeing.
Well, and I'm shocked that Utah is blowing the doors off of Stanford right now. We got that game on, and then UCLA, just injuries or not, dude, they just roll.
That is a damn good UCLA team, man. I don't think you can argue it.
I think it's the coach, man. He's just done really good things with good programs for the last couple of years. What do you have, Marquette before that, and now here?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's impressive what they put together this year. I do want to talk about one big game tomorrow night, Mr. Murray. A game I think you'll enjoy as well, because guess what? It's a Big Ten game. Wisconsin back on the road in Rutgers in Piscataway.
Ooh.
Yep, back on the road.
Is Rutgers favored?
Let me see if we have a line for this one yet. I did not see a line earlier when I looked. Wisconsin is a 3-point favorite right now. They opened as a 1-point favorite. They're now a 2.5 or 3-point favorite. It looks like five dimes and bookmaker have 2.5 and BetOnline has 3. So looking at between that 2.5 and 3-point favorite, let me see if there's a total. 135. It's already up to 135 in that Big Ten Friday night matchup.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's a good one.
Yeah, I think Rutgers might be the way to go. I know Wisconsin just has problems scoring. They're a hell of a defensive team, though.
Man, they scored 80 versus Indiana in an overtime game, but they got the shit kicked out of them by Michigan. They
got that 80. I don't really Because that game would have went under if it didn't go to overtime.
True. That is true. Fair point. But still, score 80 points and score 80 points.
Yeah. We'll have more on Saturday for all the Saturday games as well.
Yeah. Fresno State, Nevada, and CSU Bakersfield, Hawaii, the two late games tomorrow night. If you're looking for some late night pre-weekend action, Nevada opens a 6.5-point home fave. And let me see if Hawaii has a line yet. Hawaii opens as a 1-point home fave against Cal State Bakersfield. So those two also games, if you're interested and you like watching Mountain West or the Big West, those two are actually probably good games. Bakersfield has a good squad this year. And I'm pretty high on Fresno State despite their pedestrian start. Joe, I do want to talk quickly about Michigan. Well, yeah, I mean,
they're awesome.
We talked on the show Saturday about how, at least in my opinion, I thought Gonzaga and Baylor were leaps and bounds ahead of everyone, and then there was kind of a gap. Do you think that Michigan has entered into that area? Because let me read you Michigan's, you know, just their body of work this year, because it's incredibly impressive. Their non-conference play has been, you know, they didn't play anyone great. UCF, you know, is fine. But they have wins at home versus Penn State, on the road in Nebraska, on the road at Maryland, home versus Northwestern, home versus Minnesota, and now home versus Wisconsin. Three straight big wins. They're not close either. 85-66, 82-57, 77-54, and on the road beat Nebraska 80-69 and 84-73. I think we'll find out more Saturday afternoon when they take on Minnesota in Minnesota. But Michigan, to me, 11-0, they're getting real close to that category of leaps and bounds better than everyone else. I think we're going to find out really on Saturday. But I just kind of wanted your thoughts.
So I think they are. I think that, dude, they went over that coaching staff the other night when they were blowing out Wisconsin. Like, they're good. They can shoot the three. They can work it inside, outside. They can do the pick and roll. Like, and they play good defense as well. They just have a lot of length on their team. But when it comes down to it, right, Baylor, Gonzaga are probably your top two, right? And then, you know, I watched Texas play last night. They got beat by Texas Tech, but Mac there had that big three at the end of the game.
Yeah, for Texas Tech.
Guys, straight balls. I think what's – you know what's funny is people aren't giving the Big Ten props this year, at least prognosticators and rankings. They look at the Big Ten like, oh, it's too inconsistent. And betting-wise, it is. It's way too inconsistent this year. But in general, though, like Minnesota will have a big win and then get blown out. And then it's like, oh, geez, well, Wisconsin looked for real and they lose. And it's – you know, there's no team you can really get behind besides besides Michigan, but I think Michigan's in the conversation. I don't know, could they compete with the Texas? I think they can. Could they compete with Kansas? I think they can. The question is, Baylor, they're deep. I think they can compete. Gonzaga, I don't think so. But I think they're a top five team in the country for sure.
So I have Michigan as three on my power rankings at this point. They're 11-0. We're going to find out a lot by on Saturday how they perform on the road against one of these power teams. But I mean, what we're seeing this year is the Big Ten has been unbelievably fucking deep and unbelievably talented. I mean, Michigan, Indiana has been, good this year. Maryland was ranked very highly. Michigan State, inconsistent, but still good. Rutgers, Northwestern, Ohio State, Illinois. I mean, there's just this conference is fucking low. Purdue, Iowa. I forgot Iowa. This conference is fucking loaded.
So I will tell you, that fucking Iowa team, man, I'm never, ever fading them again. They're good. And I think, dude, Garza might be a top five pick, but I hope people look at him as like, he can help you now, not like a – I think that's the problem with the NBA, dude, is that they're still trying to get these players that are long-term projections instead of guys
like who – like a like a Patrick Williams or, you know, out of Florida State when he was drafted by the Bulls. I mean, the kid barely played.
Yeah, he was a seventh man on the fucking, you know, Florida State team. But, like, you know, Jonathan Isaacs was a good pick because you let him play, you let him grow. Granted, he got hurt. But, like, he's a good pick because the kid was, like, what, 17 or 18 at the time? I get it. All I'm trying to say is, you know, if Chicago's there this year and Luka Garza is available, they should look at him. Like, and I know we're not really, you know, it doesn't matter. All I'm trying to say is I think Garza is a true stretch four in the NBA that I think he might not have long-term. He might be a long-term specialist in the NBA for 13 years, but, like, he might not be the, you know, franchise saver, I guess, is what I mean by that. But then you look at other guys, right? Did you see the kid from Oklahoma State last night? What's his name? That kid's unbelievable.
Yeah, Kate Cunningham, yep.
Oh, yeah, he might be the number one pick, right? I haven't really looked at projections, but...
Cunningham's up there. Jalen Suggs is up there. Suggs,
legit.
Yeah.
But, like, those guys, those are dudes that are, like, you're going to draft them early. They're young. They're gonna be guys you hope you can turn your franchise around. But, yeah, even Wisconsin's a ton of kids that I think could play in the league. They just... They're probably just going to be specialists as well. But long story short, the Big Ten is something. And, dude, we missed out on Michigan State, Iowa, and then we missed Iowa Gonzaga earlier this year. So, like, we're missing some big games because of COVID at the moment. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I think you'll end up seeing guys like Garza, Mac McClung, who, you know, you're talking about the kid who hit the shot for Texas Tech last night, Timmy from Gonzaga.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
See, you know, the Sam Housers, those type of guys. I think you're going to see those guys in the second round this year. I think you're going to see this year's first round is loaded with upside. Jalen Suggs, Jonathan Kumunga, Mobley, who you've seen at USC, Cade Cunningham. Greg Brown from Texas. I mean, there are really, really talented kids. James Bouknight, who I don't know if you've seen him from
UConn. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these kids, they're fucking talented. There's one kid, and I haven't talked about him a ton, but from Illinois, Donsumu.
Yeah, he's this guy. Yeah, I mentioned him around the holidays. He's impressive.
To me, he is going to be the sleeper in this draft. I think that kid is going to be fucking fantastic in the NBA. He has the makings of an NBA player in my mind.
And all I'm trying to say is, like, these kids, all those guys you mentioned, they're probably first lottery picks, whatever. They're long-term guys that you hope can change a franchise. And I'll just use the name Adam Morrison years ago. Morrison was a great player at Gonzaga. Just should have never been the number three overall pick to change a franchise. He failed.
Right, and I do think that has been the adjustment recently. Zaire Williams is the other kid from Stanford who.
And I'm watching him now. He's good, but
I think that, you know, but I think you're looking at, you know, a draft this year that has really seven really really good potential players in Suggs, Kumunga, Mobley, Cunningham. Jalen Green's another kid who I haven't really seen much of because he hasn't played. He's in the G League this year. But, you know, Zaire Williams and Greg Brown. I mean, I think that there's a lot of kids who are legitimately in that, you know, top five, top. And I think you're going to see Garza as a second-round pick.
Yeah, Brown from Texas. I watched him last night. He's legit, too.
Yeah.
Breaking news, Urban Meyer has accepted the Jaguars. So my question to you is, who does he draft number one overall?
I mean, it's really not that difficult. He's going to take Lawrence. I mean, it's you don't do anything.
Even though he might have been involved with the field stuff years ago.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's gonna take Lawrence. Urban Meyer would have to be fucking crazy.
I'm stirring the pot.
I know. No, right. I get it.
All right, and there's. So I want to get into the Harden thing after this, but there's two games on TNT tonight. The Rockets are on television against San Antonio. San Antonio is -7. The spread is 218, down from 222. I'm going to bet the Golden State game later on. I like what Golden State's been doing. I'm probably going to take the over. I'm still looking at it. But I mean, I'm bored. I'm at home, fucking, you know, TNT, national television. Any action on this Houston-San Antonio game?
I do like the under in that game. That would be the way that I would go in that one. It's down to 219 right now. That'd be the way that I would look in that game. I'm hoping that we're gonna see a little bit before tip off. It gets up to 220. That would be the way that I go with it, at least in my opinion.
What the hell is the lineup tonight for Houston? Do we even know?
So like, we don't.
Oladipo play?
I'm not sure if Oladipo has been cleared to play. I doubt it because of all the COVID rules. I doubt that these guys can be cleared to play for a few days. I think you're going to see a lot of Christian Wood, a lot of DeMarcus Cousins tonight. Right now the Spurs are a 7-point favorite. They open at 7, which is, I guess, a fairly decent, line. John Wall, I think.
DeMar DeRozan probable for tonight.
Yeah.
So Brown, McLemore, Tate, Tucker, Wood.
That's it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep. So Wood, as you mentioned, PJ Tucker, okay. McLemore, Tate, Brown. That's set and under.
Okay. Yeah. John Wall is not playing. And Oladipo is not playing. Eric Gordon's not playing. Dante Exum obviously out right now. So I mean, right. Yeah, there's a lot. DeMarcus Cousins is playing. It looks like so.
Okay.
But I mean, it's. The Rockets side is a rough side. I would not be shocked if they have trouble scoring points tonight. So I'm leaning under on that, especially with the total opening so high. I was surprised when I saw the total open at 221. So yeah, to me that is an underside. In terms of just like straight up sides tonight, I kind of like Philly. I kind of think Philly, especially after all the trade talk from Harden, Joe, it would not surprise me if Philly comes out and fucking kicks the shit out of Miami. I mean, I think that Miami's, struggling out of the gate here. And I think that, they're fucking, they're pissed. They're pissed. I will tell you the sharpest side easily tonight, though, without a doubt, is that Toronto side. I believe Gordon Hayward is out tonight, Joe.
Yeah, I saw his probable. I haven't seen yet if he was out, though.
Okay, well, it opened at 7. It's up to 10. I know.
So maybe that's the case. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have not. I believe that we're not positive yet. I believe he's questionable. They just moved it to doubtful. So he's now doubtful for tonight. He was initially probable, moved to questionable, and now doubtful. So that is that's the move from seven to 10. I still think the Hornets at 10 is too fucking much. Toronto to me right now just does not look like a team that can blow anyone out. I'll probably be jumping on a live line there with the Hornets, and going under that. Man, I feel so fucking square, but I do think Charlotte is the right side even there still. And again, I do think Philly is the right side there. I think I would take Philly in the points. In that one. Friday slate, before we get to
the just real quick, what do you think of that what do you think of the Warriors game?
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't touch on the Warriors game. Yeah, it looks like they're two late games tonight. The Pacers I wouldn't touch just because they're gonna be, without Oladipo, obviously. The Warriors, I mean, listen, they blew the last game to the Pacers. They were up big in that game, they were up the entire game. To me, this is a stay away game. Denver's finally starting to play better. I know they're 2-4 at home, but it looks like the things have finally started to click from them. Maybe they had a playoff hangover from last year. And, I don't know. I mean, the total has dropped a lot. 231 to 225 is a big drop. I think I'd probably stay away from the total for me personally.
Cool. People are asking me why I'm, not in my basement, just sitting there. My call gets over. I have to work another job, and so it gets over between 5:30 and 5:45, and then sometimes my boss calls me, and I have to be by the computer, and so I sit here, and then all of a sudden I realize that, oh, we got to do the podcast, and then it's too much for me to go from here to downstairs. I'm lazy. So I would just wanted to just let everybody know. Sir, who asked about the Purdue game, I give out a PP. You should go listen. All right, so we got that game, and I was leaning over on that Warriors game. What should I do there?
I don't feel confident about anything. I think that's what I'm gonna have to set out.
Warriors are 5-0 against the spread the last five meetings. The over 8-3, but the under is 5-2 the last seven meetings, and that's of course because nobody ever played for that team. All right, and then the Harden thing.
Let's quickly talk about Harden, and then we'll get to Harden. Is that okay with you? I just want to quickly talk.
Yeah, and then I just want to sneak in some hockey bets maybe tonight before we end this bad boy.
Sure. You want to? Okay, fine. What's bang out? What's bang out Harden right now?
My take on Harden real quick is I think it's going to work whether Kyrie's there or not. Fuck Kyrie. I think Harden and Durant are going to work out because Harden's a great facilitator. And at some point, fuck Kyrie. I think they can do it without him. That's my take.
All right, let's bang out some hockey. Then we'll revisit that, and I'll give you my take on the Harden side because I think that it's definitely interesting. It's a massive fucking trade around the league. The Bruins tonight taking on the Devils.
They'll have Marchand, no Pastrnak.
Yeah, so no Pastrnak.
By the way, every game went over last night. Every game.
The Tampa Bay did not game
go. Did not. Yeah.
So, I mean, look, they're in a conference. The Bruins are in a division this year that I think is going to be incredibly hard. The one team that's going to suck consistently is the Devils.
Yep.
The Rangers are better. Buffalo is better. The Bruins are good. I just think their division got significantly harder. No Detroit, no Ottawa. I know that you get rid of Tampa, but I mean, you're bringing in Philly, who is not quite as good, but pretty much on the level there. To me, no Toronto, who I think is probably one of your worst teams in the division still, which is crazy. To me, your division got much harder. And if you're a Bruins fan, I think you're going to be, a playoff team. I just think it's going to be borderline. I know people have wanted to talk about that. If you have something, one of my friends who is a big hockey guy, I will give him a little bit of a shout out. His name is Bryce. He's one of the smartest hockey people I know, and he's going to love hearing that because I fucking hate telling him that he's right. He is big on the Blues under this year, and I, after doing a little bit of research, very much jumped in on it with him. I think that team especially is going to struggle this year. Now, just in regards to the Bruins, I expect under. Okay, division's tough. You have the goalie, but again, I question the commitment. I do. I know everyone still fucking loves the guy and wants to give excuses for him. The inconsistencies from what we heard from the general manager and the player don't line up. One guy says there was no emergency. One guy says there was an emergency. I'm going to choose to believe the player. Just because I feel like I have to. I feel like I have to take the guy at his word that there was an emergency. But the commitment question is there. There are legitimate commitment questions. What happens if we get to another bubble? What's going to happen with that? He was already talking about leaving the bubble before he left for the emergency. Never came back. Was playing golf regardless of what you want to believe. That rumor is out there. There's a lot of people who believe he was playing golf, myself included. I feel the Bruins this year, they're going to be good. I think Chara, the loss on the penalty kill is going to be huge. Maybe not early on, not this game, but just in general is going to be huge. Tonight, I like the under in the Bruins-Devils game, Joe, and I lean the Devils tonight. I would not be shocked if Boston came out flat.
I was looking at the under as well. I think the defense will make a mistake at some point, but they'll play okay in their first game, I think. But overall, Dan, I think that defense stinks.
I think they're young. You're going to have to find out what you have in Zboril. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm excited to watch the game tonight, honestly. I haven't seen a Bruins game in – since the playoffs, I'm, kind of like all you guys, I'm fucking excited to see this team play. I am just worried that they're back. They're very young back there. I think against a team like the Devils, you can take advantage where they don't have a guy like Taylor Hall anymore. But just in general, not exactly, you know, a formidable defense. And if they make the playoffs, probably the worst defensive core in the playoffs. That's my guess right now. You have anything that, for hockey that you wanted to take?
So, yeah, I was looking at I feel like tonight might be the way of the under. I'm interested to see what Washington looks like tonight. You got Islanders, Rangers. Rangers are taking a step back with a new goalie. Detroit was bad. I mean, think about it. All these live home teams, dude. Like, all these home underdogs tonight. Like, there's money all over the board. Yeah. And there's Vegas at 230. Woof. It just seems like a lot to me. Again, really, I might dabble at the under in the Bruins game. That's about it. That's all I got for tonight.
Yeah, I like the under. I like the under in the Bruins game as well, Joe. I do think that this is going to be more of a defensive game, and especially after last night, you're going to see a shitload of overs. I think you're going to see regression to the mean, to the under. You know what? Fuck it. PP.
No.
Give me the Bruins under. Bruins Devils under 5.5, -110. Give me the under in that one. All right. Back to the NBA. Just to finish up the podcast here, I got requested to discuss Bitcoin as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
My take on Bitcoin, it has grown too valuable to be a legitimate currency. So eventually it will devolve into something else. And I think it will not collapse, but I would not be shocked if you see a massive, massive downturn of Bitcoin at some point, not today, wow, not tomorrow, just at some point, because it was meant to be a currency. But if the currency becomes too highly valued, then it's no longer a currency. Then you're just talking about, valuable items that you can move basically for laundering purposes. Back to the NBA and James Harden, Joe, you talked about how you think it's going to work. When you say it's going to work, can you kind of give me a little bit more detail? What do you mean by it's going to work? Are they going to win the NBA championship? Are they going to be an elite team? Like, what do you mean?
I think they're going to be an elite team, and that Harden and Durant are fine. Like, I think they'll win games. Definitely. I mean, they had some of the best depth in the league without a doubt before the trade. I think they could have been fine before the trade. I think, Dan, long story short, I think they made this trade because of Kyrie. Like, if he's not going to work out, fuck him, and then just go with those two guys. And that's why I think they made the trade now. Plus, Houston had to get out of that deal. But yeah, no, I think it's Durant's team, and I've always, I don't know, that guy. I trust him over anybody else. So I think it's going to work for this year. Do I know about next year? I don't know, but I think for this year, Harden's going to come in and do the right thing.
So we talked about this podcast, about this trade before it happened in the season. I told you I thought Philly would be the one who ends up getting Harden, not Brooklyn. I said that, from what I had heard in the wind, that Kyrie did not want Harden and Durant did. And I believe that Kyrie pouting is due to the fact that talks may have picked up between the two teams. And now we're seeing Kyrie pouting because they've acquired Harden. And it sounds like this was known. It was going to happen for a few days here and picked up, obviously, last night. My take is this. I think Kyrie will come back at some point with his tail tucked behind his legs and then eventually do this all over again. But for the time being, I think they will be fine. I think they will represent the Eastern Conference in the finals against the Lakers. I think they will lose to the Lakers. I think ultimately the depth on this team is shot now. I think that you're going to have to rebuild the roster during the buyout season, kind of like Milwaukee did last year, where they brought in a lot of buyouts. I think you're going to see something similar with the Brooklyn Nets and their roster, because now you've really lost your center depth. I mean, DeAndre Jordan has not been good this year. He hasn't. And again, that's not exactly a fucking surprise. They don't really have a backup center, who can do it. Again, there's no one listed at center on the roster. Dinwiddie's out. He's hurt for a while. You're going to start relying on Nicholas Claxton, who is that's dangerous. Jeff Green, Joe Harris are going to be primary.
Hey, Jeff Green, baby. Yeah.
You did acquire Landry Shamet in the offseason. Yeah, he hasn't been playing. He hasn't been playing a ton, but now he's definitely going to be probably the first guard off the bench. So you don't really have a backup small forward. You're going to have to roll with Joe Harris there. I think this team is in trouble at the wing and wing in the center positions for a while. We'll see what happens. Jeff Green can play the wing. You'll be okay, but still, you know, the lack of size on this roster now is going to be an issue. It's almost like the Houston Rockets roster of a few years ago, especially with no Jared Allen, no rebounding. You're going to have to pick some guys up off the scrap heap later in the year. And you might see like Luanu Kamara and Tyler Johnson play some big roles for this team, which is terrifying. So ultimately, I think this team is going to be the most interesting team to watch now. I don't think there's a more interesting team to watch in sports.
Yep, and I think it's good for the NBA because, you know, we saw the ratings down for the national championship in football, and I made a wrestling joke, but you're right. It's because Alabama's always there. You know, the joke with the NFL ratings are down. It's just because I don't know. Maybe the teams didn't have enough firepower. But ratings are down. They're not down. Well, I guess they were down in the NBA, and I think it's because of politics at times. But, yeah. Like, we needed a storyline this year. What was the storyline? Giannis signs with the team. You know, LeBron still is there. You know, like, where is – I mean, the real storylines, this is a fucking storyline and something to watch. And, dude, we could get a – the thing is, though, and do you understand why they made the move, though? Like, I think they had to give themselves insurance for Kyrie.
Like, I think they made the move because Durant wanted the move.
I think
Durant runs the team, so Durant gets.
That's what I mean. And dude, Durant, let's give him credit. Guy is a champion. I know he had to go somewhere else to do it, but he's still. Look at you shaking your head. He's a fucking champ. Just face it.
Yeah, he's a champ. Like Darrell Revis is a champ. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, they both were really good and going to be Hall of Famers.
Listen, Durant is a guy who couldn't do it on his own.
And that might be a great comparison.
He won, but do you really want to give him credit? I don't.
All right.
You can feel free.
We'll continue this at another time. We gave out a lot of picks tonight.
We did.
Stephon Gilmore is tweeting out 2021 is going to be really interesting. Wonder what that means, bro. Thanks for tweeting that out and freaking everybody out. All right. Well, that's it, Dan. I'm about to go watch some hockey.
Let's go Bruins.
Let's go under in that Indiana game. And what else do we get? And then BYU late night.
And the Bruins under.
Yep. And the under in the Houston Rockets game tonight because they stink. So that's that. So. Thank you, everybody, for chatting in and the 31 people that we still have on. We had 200 people at one point, Dan. So that is it. This is Ben. What's up?
I was going to say, Joe's going to send me the podcast. I'm going to put it up tonight. It's early enough. You can send it to me, and I'll put it up tonight for everybody.
All right. There you go. I'm going to download it now, and you're just going to have to send me the Dropbox info again.
That's fine.
But, all right. Thanks, everyone. This has been another edition of the Over Under 985 podcast.
Who you got? Have a good one, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.